ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 5 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me is Patrick Hackett.
Chimichangas.
Ron Deanna.
Hello, huh?
Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Taylor Catcher.
Hello.
Tonight, our main topic is going to be the new Spider-Man film was announced, or the title was, and it's called Spider-Man Homecoming. It's coming July 7, 2017, and we're basically going to talk about what we want to see in that movie, what we're hoping to see, how we'd like to see how Spider-Man is, the villains, possible storylines. But before we do that, we're going to get right into the news, and here we go. This one actually relates to Spider-Man Homecoming. Robert Downey Jr. is joining the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming. And it's kind of not much of a surprise if you've seen the trailer for Civil War and you see that Spider-Man is on Team Iron Man.
I'm excited because I like the idea of seeing the Iron Spider costume in a Spider-Man movie. I'm curious now as to where the timeline of Spider-Man Homecoming as it relates to Civil War. We know that in the MCU, they've played with the timeline a little bit about what takes place where. It's not always in the chronology that the films are released in, so that'll be interesting. I know Joe has been harping on the title in all the emails that he sends out, but I'm not a big fan of it either. I think it's kind of a blah title, but I think Downey gives it some added star power. It's an exciting time for Spider-Man. The trailer that released, I'm sure we'll talk about it here, where you get to hear a classic Spidey quip. I mean, it's a good place right now.
I don't know much about Homecoming, but what I've read, like the storyline, it, you know, Iron Man has to be in it. There's some other characters that should be as well, but we'll have to see how that pans out after Civil War is done.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what Homecoming could be meaning. I don't remember any Spider-Man storyline called Homecoming, but I could have missed it. Robert Downey Jr. being in it, I'd like to see him playing a supporting role versus throwing on the actual Iron Man suit. I'd really like it to be a Spider-Man movie, not a Marvel team-up movie. So yeah, I mean, it'll be good to see him because Robert Downey Jr., he's terrific playing Tony Stark. But I hope, I hope he stays Tony Stark and not Iron Man in it.
I'm excited because I assume Homecoming is going to be something to do with the Homecoming dance because he's still in high school. I'm interested in how much they're going to involve Tony Stark, because even in the comic books, when Peter Parker died and like Miles Morales and everyone else was at Peter's funeral at Aunt May's house in the Ultimate Universe, in the Ultimate Universe, Pepper Potts shows up with like catering, but Iron Man doesn't, like he's too busy. So it's kind of interesting to be like, is how hands-on is he with Peter in this MCU versus like the comic books, where he wouldn't even show up to the funeral, but sends Pepper in his stead and like gets the best chef in the, like it's supposed to be like the best chef in the world to cater the, you know, the wake. So I don't know. I'm excited about this. I would say that my excitement of Robert Downey Jr. was, not as much as my disappointment that Michael Keaton is no longer part of the project, or rumor is that he's no longer part of the project. I was more excited for Michael Keaton to be in it than I was that, like, Robert Downey Jr., I guess. Because I was like, okay, that's cool that Iron Man's in it. Like, great. But, like Jack said, I agree with Jack that I want it to be a Spider-Man movie. I don't want it to be like, oh, and, I don't know, it's kind of like Batman versus Superman, where it's like, it's supposed to be Superman 2, but it's really about Batman. So I don't want it to do that with Iron Man and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm assuming none of you guys read my Marvel mashups, because I wrote a whole story on that.
I occasionally click on it. I just didn't click on that one.
Someone does. Someone hopefully does. Anyway, Amazing Spider-Man number 252 was titled...
Boom.
was titled Homecoming. And that takes place right after Secret Wars, where Spider-Man comes back with his symbiote costume. Him and Kurt Connors are coming back from Secret Wars. And it's just basically, it's significant because it's the first time that an Amazing Spider-Man, that Spider-Man is wearing the black costume. But
actually, I always liked the black costume. I thought that was one of the cooler costume designs they did, and I wish we still saw more of it in the books.
Iron Spider only.
Me too. I love that black costume. But you know what?
I didn't like it in Spider-Man 3, though. I tell you that.
No, not that.
It was what was going on around the costume that made you not like it.
Jazz Spider-Man? He's my favorite.
Emo Spider-Man.
Yeah, so great.
I mean, I would have liked if they had, like, the white stripes that you see in the traditional symbiote costume in Spider-Man 3. I mean, as far as the costume goes, but they did okay. I mean, in regards to the actual costume design. Story, yeah, it was a mess, but...
No, I would have rather seen the sleek black with the white highlights. None of that webbing detail. I thought that would have looked cool, and it looked like there was a production photo floating around where they had done the costume like that, and it looked awesome. And I wish they had stuck with that rather than doing what they had done.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but still, that's probably a story we can talk about another day about Spider-Man 3 and whether we like it or not. Which I think I know the answer for everybody. So anyway, Spider-Man Homecoming opens July 7th, 2017. All right, so last time that we were talking on the podcast, the Doctor Strange trailer had premiered and we weren't able to give our impressions. Now all of us have seen it and we want to give our impressions about what we think about the trailer. Do we like it? Do we not?
I love Doctor Strange. So over the holidays... I realized when I first saw the Benedict Cumberbatch pictures and I realized how accurate his outfit was, I was like, okay, they're doing this serious. I should probably read up on this because at the time I was still doing Comic Chat with Gat. So I read like, I think 6 trades and like 4 or 5 single issues of like whatever they were doing now. And so I became very well versed in the Sorcerer Supreme. And this trailer nailed it, like nailed it so perfectly. The animated movie is mediocre. It doesn't quite capture how great he is. I would say that if you're going to read a book, pick up The Oath. It's probably the best trade I've read so far of Doctor Strange. It's great. But the trailer, I mean, it covered his origin story very well. He's a super rich, surgeon that's kind of a jerk. And then he gets in a car accident, can't use his hands, so he can't be a surgeon, gets all depressed. Spends all of his money trying to make people like heal him. No one can do it. He goes on like a walkabout and kind of like tries to find other ways. And he hears about this ancient one. He goes there and, you know, things unfold to him becoming a student of the ancient one. I'm excited about how do you pronounce that guy's name? Chadwick Ejiofor?
That's good enough. I couldn't pronounce it last week. So
yeah. He's playing Baron, I can't remember his last name, but he's basically...
Mordo.
Mordo. So Mordo is a bad guy usually, spoiler, I guess. But he's kind of a contemporary and he's kind of the reason that Doctor Strange becomes like the underling of the Ancient One. So, I don't know, I'm excited about that. At first I was thinking that he was trying to play Wong and I was like, Wong's an Asian dude, so that's kind of weird. But he's not. So it's pretty awesome. I'm very excited. This trailer nailed it for me personally. I guess I don't want to ramble on too much, but it looks very accurate and what I want out of a Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've never read a lot of Strange books. I've always kind of read him as a supporting character. And I think this trailer did the perfect amount of just being a teaser. It gave us that sense of mystery, but tells you that this is not going to be the normal Marvel movie. It's going to have these weird aspects. I got kind of an Inception vibe out of it, so it definitely feels like it's going to play mind games more than just be a big action movie. And that's kind of what I want out of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I liked how you said it had a kind of an Inception vibe on when we actually saw magic. I liked the trailer a lot. as I mentioned before, I don't quite know enough about how magic is going to fit into the MCU, but I think it looks like it's going to be a good one. And then again, I mean, Doctor Strange isn't as iconic as a Spider-Man or a Captain America. He's a little bit more off the chart, so I think they can have a lot more fun with him, because you'll have people who said, hey, you know what? I didn't read as much Doctor Strange, and I'm in that club too. I mean, I liked him as a supporting character in the Defenders when he showed up in other comics, but I didn't really read all that much of Doctor Strange titles until the more recent storyline, the new series, because I liked the writer. But the trailer looks like it could be a lot of good. I would have liked to have seen just a little bit of him going into another realm. Like, show me... I just wanted a glimpse of Dormammu with the flaming head, or Nightmare's realm. You know, just to get that really weird Ditko scene, see how they could translate that into an actual movie. But hey, it looks fun, and I think they'll do good with it.
They might wait for Dormammu for Doctor Strange 2.
Are we going to get a Doctor Strange 2, or...
We have Benedict Cumberbatch. That's all you need to get a Doctor Strange 2. Like, he alone will sell that movie.
Well,
I mean,
wasn't it Dormammu who kind of started twisting around Mordo?
Yeah, Mordo was conversing with Dormammu when he was like, oh, I'm going to screw over the Ancient One and become super awesome. And then Doctor Strange sees him, but Mordo puts like a silent
spell on him or something.
Yeah, a silent spell on him, so he can't tell the Ancient One what he saw, but the Ancient One is the Ancient One, so that's when he decides, like, he's like, this magic stuff is BS, I'm out of here. And then he goes to the Ancient One because he realizes, like, this old guy's gonna get messed up by this guy, this, you know, Mordo guy, because he was conversing with this crazy firehead guy, so I should go tell him, but he can't. And so the Ancient One says, if you pledge yourself to work with me, I can release you from any spell, because he obviously knows, because he's the Ancient One, that he has a spell on him. And he's like, yeah, I do that so I can tell you about this. And he's like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen, no problem, but now you're my apprentice. So yeah, it's true, but I think that might still be like the next... I mean, it'd be awesome if Dormammu was in this movie, but...
Well, I can confirm he's in the movie.
Dormammu's in the movie?
Yeah.
How do you confirm that?
I read it. I mean,
Breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I forget who had said it, but it was somebody that was part of the production crew that said it. It could have either been the writer, the director, or something like that. But yeah, he's in it.
Well, I mean, I same thing. I saw pictures of people who looked like they're possessed by him, but I didn't know if the old flaming head was going to make an appearance.
It's so amazing. Man.
If it works for Nick Cage, who doesn't it work for?
Exactly.
That's true. Good call, Pat.
You can't go wrong.
In terms of the trailer, I'm kind of just wait and see on it. It was a perfect teaser. I was like, all right, I'm interested. Just like everybody else, I was shocked that I kind of fell in line with everybody. I love him as a supporting character. I've seen him in several cartoons, in a couple books. And he's just a really cool supporting character. Sometimes he's fun to be kind of the straight man because he takes things very seriously. To Spidey or to some of the other Defenders who might be a little more edgy. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And Taylor, I think you might be getting ahead of yourself with Doctor Strange too. I know the Cumberbatch ladies will be coming for him. But I think this might be Marvel's most risky property.
Yeah, I agree.
Magic has not been invited into the DC. I mean, you got close with Thor. There's little bits of magic there, I mean, magic. This is opening the door for Iron Fist. This is opening the door for a lot of things. In the same direction of like when you like Constantine didn't really make it for the DC TV because it's like it's magic and like demons. It's kind of weird. Like it's a whole nother side of the Marvel universe that we haven't seen. We've only seen tech problems and like science experiments gone wrong, which is classically Marvel's, you know, bread and butter. But yeah, magic is a whole nother side. You know, you've got Scarlet Witch, but they're like she's an Inhuman.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I'll even add to that where you said Constantine didn't work on DC TV. However, he was a terrific second banana in Arrow.
Oh, yes, he was. Man, what an episode.
So I think that's you're speaking my language right now, is that maybe Doctor Strange finds a place in the MCU, but maybe this is his only feature picture.
Well, I mean, I know we're going to talk about Civil War later, but in Civil War, which they're not going to mention Doctor Strange in Civil War because they have to have an origin story after, so apparently he's not going to be the Sorcerer Supreme yet, but in Civil War, someone goes to him in the book, and they're like, hey, like, whose side are you taking? He's like, no, I can't take sides, because whosoever side I would take, I could, like, decimate the other side in, like, 5 seconds. Because that's how powerful Doctor Strange is. He's the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth, like, of our universe. Like, he's so powerful that he was like, no, I'm just going to go meditate in my place in, like, Alaska or the, you know, the Tibet or wherever he goes. But he just kind of like, yeah, he's like, Chelsea, yeah, he's just in his, he's in the Sanctum Sanctorum. But he stays out of it, out of, like, Civil War entirely. And they mention that in the book because of how powerful he is. So, and he's a big part of the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, or at least the Infinity War. So I'm excited to see that, and I think you're right. Maybe they just have a single movie so that they can use him as a supporting character going forward. But either way, I'm super stoked that he's in it.
Now, actually, I would like to see Robert Downey Jr. playing off Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
In the classic Iron Man Hates Magic routine.
But I like your beard, though.
Yeah, the Beard Bros, and they high five. Oh, they get that in the movie.
Yeah,
that's a scene I would like to see.
I just hope somebody says, no ass Sherlock, and they both look.
That's good, Patrick.
I think that's actually a joke I stole from Ron subconsciously.
Oh, did you?
It's possible.
Well, thanks for that one, too.
That would still be a solid visual gag. Very solid. All
right, real quick, I'm just going to say, I mean, I like the trailer. I'm waiting for the second one to really get me hooked. Like, I kind of agree with Patrick. I think that it's going to depend on what kind of numbers it brings in. Yeah, the comic fans are going to see it, but it is trippy. I mean, when you see that trailer, someone that's not a comic fan, they're going to say, what the hell is this? And there are going to be Benedict Cumberbatch fans that are going to want to see this movie, but can you bring the non-comic book fan and the non-Benedict Cumberbatch fans into the theaters and for repeat viewings too? That's what's going to decide whether or not there's going to be a sequel. But as far as him, I mean, he looks great as Doctor Strange. I was a little disappointed that we really didn't get to see him in full costume yet. Tilda Swinton looks great as the Ancient One. I got no issues with her. Baron Mordo looks great. It did kind of have an Inception, Batman Begins sort of feel to it. But I'm confident, though. I mean, again, just waiting for that second trailer to see if it kind of, like, hooks me a little bit more. But we'll see. We'll see. It was a good trailer.
Hey, Joe, I know you don't have it on the list of topics, but what does everybody think of the handling of the Ancient One?
It's fine with me.
It's whatever.
She was a good Gabriel in Constantine.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't have anything bad to say with her, but it's just, I don't know. I think they got a little bit too far with the casting with this one.
Well, I did read about it. What I heard is that, yeah, it was tricky because they didn't know what to do. Because, first of all, what is it? It takes place in Nepal. That's where the Ancient One is.
Yeah.
He's from Tibet, which is
a contested territory, kind of.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the problem, too, is that they're worried about if they cast someone as Chinese as the Ancient One, it's going to be an insult to the people that are in Tibet or Nepal. So I think that their best thing that they could do was to cast Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. But they did task, who was that guy? Ken Watanabe?
Watanabe?
Watanabe, yeah. He was actually screen tested for that role. And a couple other people, but they decided to go with Tilda Swinton. And I think that they felt that that was actually the least controversial worldwide, and that's why they did it.
Hmm.
But anyway, Doctor Strange opens November 4th of this year. All looking forward to it. Can't wait to see it. We've got another trailer to talk about. X-Men Apocalypse released a new trailer recently. Pretty much a little bit of the old, but some new in there, too.
I thought it was good. I'm still think they might be doing too much with this movie, too many new characters. Apocalypse has always been a weird villain to kind of have everybody fight physically, because he's almost godlike compared to a lot of the other mutants. So far, it looks good. And the reveal at the end was just about perfect for it. I mean, everybody's been asking where he is. And we were told he was in one of the X movies this year, so we kind of knew he was coming.
I think it's looking better, but I'm the same way with Apocalypse. He was never one of my favorite X-villains. I'd rather have seen him do Mr. Sinister instead of Apocalypse. But, you know, because I just never quite got the hang of what Apocalypse's powers were. It always seemed to me in the comics it was whatever they needed it to be. You know?
Mm.
We need him to grow into a giant. Okay, now he can grow into a giant. Oh, he needs a gun. Okay, let's let him turn his hand into a gun. I never quite got him as a villain. I guess the rules of the character. But the horseman part, I think, looks great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I think Olivia Munn is... Look, she looks and she moves like Psylocke should. Magneto being a horseman, I like that as a twist. That he's really against Xavier now, with everything. I think it's looking good. I like the fact that it's still concentrating a lot between Magneto, Mystique, and Xavier. The other characters are there, but I still like how this group of films has really been concentrating on those three. Almost as if they're having their own arc of movies now. Where Joe and I, we talked earlier, where the earlier films were very Wolverine-centric. Almost the part I always thought they were Wolverine and his sidekicks, the X-Men.
Isn't that how it is?
That's unfortunately how it's kind of turned into through the years. But
Wolverine and his sidekick, the X-Men, and that jerk Cyclops.
Yeah.
He's barely been in these movies.
Good!
Well, you know, I am glad Cyclops is back, because I don't think he's as bad a character as people always kind of pick on him. But I think it looks good, and, you know, we'll see how it turns out. But like I said, because I don't really get the villain, the rules of the villain on how his powers work, I think that's holding me back from really looking forward to it as much as some of the other movies.
The trailer was fine. You know, I am feeling like I guess everybody else is. I'm kind of met on it. I'm definitely going to see it, but it's just it's not wetting the old whistle there. And of course, the reveal at the end is what everybody's looking for. I was interested because I heard X-23 was going to be in it as well, so I was wondering if we were going to get maybe a glimpse of her, if she's a reveal later on. I know she's been a horsewoman in the past, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's doing its job of getting people who are on the fence about the movie ready to see it. Those of us who see these movies regardless, you know, we're already on board.
I'm going to see it either way. There was... I was kind of... Mystique isn't that big of a character. And so that kind of bugged me. I love Jennifer Lawrence, don't get me wrong. But it's like, come on, like, Mystique's not, like, the person that got the X-Men to fight together ever. She's a bad guy. I mean, generally speaking, she's the mom of Nightcrawler, which I'm not sure if they're going to talk about that at all. But actually, I rewatched the trailer before this podcast, and there was a weird, like, he's like, I know who you are. And I was like, whoa, that'll be weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very, very excited about this movie. I love Oscar Isaac. Apocalypse. I mean, I must have played with that action figure as a kid.
It was a cool figure.
Yeah, because it grew. Like, you could
take
his legs and arms and make them bigger. So, love that. I was a big X-Men 92, you know, cartoon fan, and he was always, you know, that lingering villain. He had Bishop and all these cool characters that came with Apocalypse. So, I don't know. I'm very excited about the movie, and of course the Wolverine claws at the end of the trailer were, you know, you're like, all right, but then he's not going to remember, because it'd be weird if he was in love with Jean Grey when he was like, I don't know how old Wolverine is, but like, you know, and then he sees her again. He's like, oh, this, what's up? And it's like, you've seen her before when you saved her life, but she doesn't remember you. But again, they got rid of all that. I mean, that's what they did with the last movie, was basically just erase the history of the X-Men so they could do whatever they want.
I was thinking with Jean Grey, though. I mean, if you think about it, he's always older than her.
Well, yeah, but to be like, you remember when I saved you when you were 17? Well, now I'm back to see you again. I don't know. It's.
I just want to know how she got out of Winterfell.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, you know, Brianna Tarth was there, but know, that first episode was a lot of nothing. I'm very excited, and I'm with everybody else. Like, especially Patrick, it's like we're all on board. We're not going to not see it. I feel like people are like, oh, maybe X-Men are finally going to come back to the DCU MCU. And it's like, well, they have two Quicksilvers now, so even it'd be really hard to.
Well, they only have one Quicksilver.
Yeah, one of them.
Well, yeah, I know, but it would still be weird to be like, remember that guy that died? He wasn't the real Quicksilver. Here's the real Quicksilver. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm pretty excited about that character, actually, because I think he might have been one of the best parts of Days of Future Past. Yeah, I don't know. It's a movie that I'm going to see for sure, and the Wolverine stuff was very exciting because I don't think anyone even heard rumors. Maybe they did, but I try to avoid rumors or, like, you know, spoilers as much as possible, but I didn't even know that he was going to be in this movie. So
yeah, Ron knew. He had heard rumors. I did, too. I heard rumors that he was going to be in one of them, either the Deadpool one or this one.
I can't remember who it was the interview with, but if it was with Jackman or with the head of the studio, but somebody just was flat out the way they said it.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I see it, the thing I didn't like about it is just too much Jennifer Lawrence. It does feel to me like it's Jennifer Lawrence and the X-Men, and she's too obviously Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, if she's going to be in this movie, let her be all blue. I mean, she says that when she was in First Class. Was it Mutant and Proud or whatever?
Well, the studio has more to say than that than Mystique does, I feel.
I guess so, but it just doesn't make any sense. I hope this is her last movie. I know she says she wants to play more, but she needs to go. It's just she's too noticeable. I have no problem with her as an actress. I just think she's too recognizable now, and they keep kind of forcing her down our throats, and I just don't want that. Psylocke, she does look good, but didn't that kind of, especially I get asked this to Taylor, didn't you kind of get a Wonder Woman vibe from that, especially when she was fighting Beast, and she gives him this little smile?
Yeah, I guess, thinking about it now that you say that, but I don't know. I was more excited to see Beast than I was to see Psylocke. I was like, yeah, Beast, do your thing, Dr. McCoy.
But with all that being said, I mean, I've seen all the X-Men movies, I've seen all the Wolverine movies, and I'm not a huge fan of them. My favorite is X2, X-Men United, and I love yes. Wolverine, too. I mean, I think that that's a great movie. The other ones are hit and miss. The first X-Men movie really was the one that started it all. That one came out before Spider-Man came out, and I remember seeing it with my friend, and I was like, wow, this didn't suck. This was actually pretty good, and I was expecting the worst because the last superhero movie before then was, I forget, it was either Superman 4 or it was Batman and Robin, but it kind of just created this dark little world that we had where we're not going to have superhero movies for a while. But with that being said, this still looks great. I mean, I watched the trailer over and over again, and those fight scenes look awesome, and I can't wait to see them. Especially, there's a scene, I think, with Storm, and it could be Cyclops that looks really good. I know you love Cyclops, but maybe he'll... This is a new actor playing Cyclops. Maybe
doesn't matter. James Marsden is awesome.
Oh, so Patrick has a good point.
He just doesn't like Cyclops, that's it.
That's it.
He's a horrible character. He's either boring, or he's been turned in. He was boring for years, and then suddenly, about 10, 15 years ago, they decided they want to do something to him, and they turned him into the Marvel Universe.
I don't think we'd say that last part.
So, yeah. I mean...
Thanks, Ron.
As a kid, I only watched the cartoon every morning, and Cyclops seemed like the leader. Cyclops was the leader of the X-Men. He was like the Captain America very...
How dare you?
I'm not saying
I agree with him.
He was the Boy Scout of the X-Men. He was the leader. He was like the guy that was like, you need to do this, you need to do that. We're a team. So yeah, he was kind of boring, but I'm like, that's what the leader has to be. I was never negative against Cyclops, but of course I wanted to be Wolverine. Like if I was going to pick his shoes or Gambit.
That was the fun of them
because you had your straight man and you had the guy who was always riffing on him.
Right. Your Abbott and Costello.
I feel more like Gambit was the one who was riffing on him and Wolverine literally wanted to rip his throat out.
Jean Grey, she said it in the first movie. Cyclops was the good boy, and Wolverine was the bad boy. And in the end, you always end up with the good boy. And that's how I kind of seen him. Like Taylor said, I'm not saying he was...
Great, now he's taking our girlfriends, too.
It's not like he was Captain America, but he kind of was a leader like Captain America was. Like, he was more level-headed. he was more strategic and everything. I mean, I can understand why you say he's boring. I mean, the only power that he has is just laser beam coming out of his eyes, and that's it. And he still has difficulty.
And it's often used against him because he has no idea how to control it.
Yeah, he's like Thelma, like my glasses. You know, sometimes they pop off. You know? But I don't know. Bottom line is we're all going to see it. Hopefully it'll be good. But then another part is like hopefully it'll be bad and Disney will get back the rights to the X-Men one day.
No, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I think we have a better chance with the four than the X-Men.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but you never know. I mean, they might strike a deal like they did with Spider-Man and Sony, although they don't need any help, I admit that.
That's also true, but the only one that I think really the MCU would like to see is Wolvie, I think, and Deadpool now.
Well, to be fair, though, let's say, like, as they haven't ever announced what they're doing for... Phase 4 of the MCU.
Yeah, that'd be Phase 4.
Right, that's coming up next after the Infinity Gauntlet. So what if it's Avengers versus X-Men? I mean, maybe they strike that deal, you know?
Could be. I mean, they're doing... Especially, again, they're going to be doing Old Man Logan. They're going to need the Hulk. I know they cast somebody as the villain. I'm sure that Mark Miller, he's kind of their version of Kevin Feige. And... I'm sure he's going to push. He wrote that story, so why wouldn't he want the Hulk and whoever, like maybe Hawkeye to join them and Red Skull, whoever. You know, so hopefully there is something in the works. I don't want to get into this, but you never know. I mean, again, like Marvel kind of loosened things up for them to be on TV. They wouldn't have been able to do this TV show, the two TV shows, if it wasn't for Marvel signing off on it. And again, Marvel is kind of pushing the X-Men now, even with merchandising. So you don't know. Something might be going on. One day we might wake up and find out a deal is struck. There's new heads over at the studio at Fox, so you never know. Just wishful thinking, but we'll see.
Just bring the FF over, that's all.
Well, that's one of the rumors going around now with the Inhumans being bumped from the lineup is... Marvel's got the Fantastic Four back again. It's just a complete rumor. I haven't heard anything to substantiate it, but it's been floating around out there that that's part of the reason that Inhumans is no longer in the lineup. More likely it is the fight between the TV and film divisions, which is, I don't know why they still have the guy running the TV division. I mean, he's not making the kind of money the films are, so he's going to lose that fight at some point.
Yeah, he's going to be thrown out eventually. They'll give him.
Well, Agent Carter's not coming back, and if I'm not mistaken, S.H.I.E.L.D. has not been picked up for another season yet.
Yeah, it's yet.
Who watches that?
I used to. It's on my DVR. I catch up on it occasionally.
Hey, I watch it. I like it.
It's not bad. I mean, it's just it falls behind.
It's not Flash.
No, it's not the Flash, but it's still good.
All right, so anyway, let's wrap this one up. And X-Men Apocalypse opens May 27th. It's coming sooner than you think.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Our next news story, J.J. Abrams was at the Tribeca Film Festival, and he dropped a bomb when he was asked about who Rey's family was. And he, quote, said, "Rey's parents are not in Episode 7. So I can't possibly say in this moment who they are. But I will say it's something that Ray thinks about. The next day, he came out and said, wait a minute. I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say was that she doesn't discover them in Episode 7. Not that they may not already be in her world.
I think it was him throwing something. He might. The parents may not appear, but a parent may appear. I'm still going with the idea that Rey's going to end up being Luke's daughter. We may not find out who the mother is. That may not be revealed, or it may be mentioned and, you know, said, but we won't see this person. I think it was an Abrams misdirect, like, you know, so he can come back and backpedal and say, see, the parents weren't in there, but a parent was. That's where I think he's going. But then after, again, the whole Star Trek Into Darkness, no, it's not Khan, and it is. I think he throws these things out rather flippantly just to kind of mess with people. That's my feeling on it. But I'm still going with she's a Skywalker.
No Skywalker. I don't want it. I don't want her to be a Skywalker. I just don't. I want her to be a Kenobi, sure. Or a nobody.
You'll take your Skywalker and you'll like it, young man.
No! I will not! Actually, I will.
Like it, you will.
To be fair, if that was what happens, I mean, I'd be like, okay, I guess. I would probably just, you know, accept it. I don't know. I think we're just too early to... Some of the speculation is like, it's like 2 years out, and they were so good at hiding everything that happened in Episode 7 that they're not going to let anything slip that is this, like, crazy for Episode 8. I mean, they've been amazingly good. At even every trailer, you were so excited to see Episode 7, but you really had no idea what was going to happen. Like, you're like, I don't know what all these cutscenes mean together, where you watched the Deadpool trailer and you're like, I know the whole movie, so I'll go see that. And it's at this point, like, I'd love to speculate, and I guess that's the whole idea of this whole thing, but it's just kind of like, it doesn't matter. It's just going to be. It's going to be what it is, and I'm just going to love it.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
I don't trust Abrams if he tells me his name at this point. so I really think they could be. It could be Luke. It could be, you know, it's Han and Leia. I mean, it's just, he could be throwing misdirection. He could be throwing misdirection with taking it back. I just don't know anymore. And I just give up on Abrams. I'm glad he's not directing. I mean, he's a great director for these things. But I'm just glad he's not doing this one.
I just don't know. Like, when he said it so forcefully, pun, I was like, all right, cool. So maybe he is being on the up and up. And then he backpedaled, and I'm like, wait, what does the backpedal mean? That he made a mistake and that they're somewhere in the background? Or that if they're just not in the film... I'm with Ron. It's like, you can't trust this guy any further than you can throw him. But I just want to say how pleasant it is to be on a WWNT podcast and use the number 7 repeatedly and not have anybody make that joke. So kudos,
7?
You bastard.
Yeah, I think he was drunk and he kind of like let it slip. And then he regretted what he did, and he just did damage control the next day. So what that means is that Rey is not a Skywalker, and yes, it was an accident. Number one, when I first saw the movie, yeah, I was like, oh, Luke is her father. It just seemed too obvious, like with the visions and all that stuff. And it's like, it had to be. Who else could she be? But it's too obvious, and I don't think that they want to make it too obvious that Luke is her father. It's got to be something else. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know who it could be, but I'd be happy if it was nobody. It's just someone that we don't know. Everything doesn't have to be connected. C-3PO doesn't have to be built by Anakin anymore, you know? I just want it to be a good movie, but I have a feeling that he goofed, and he basically did mention that he's out of it. He's not part of Rey's family.
What if her parents are just the midichlorians?
Papa midichlorian.
Don't even go there.
Well, you see, they're coming out with Episode 3, the special edition. And there's going to be a triplet.
Everyone's making me irrationally angry.
We're going long. I'm not even going to go into the, you know, something, but we'll just leave it at that. So bottom line, my answer is he was drunk. And, you know, she's not a Skywalker, but we'll see.
Go home, JJ. You're drunk.
Yeah, get out of here. All right, so next thing now. All right, we're done with the news. We're just going to get right into Captain America Civil War is opening up pretty soon. And box office predictions right now, they're saying that it's looking at $230 million overseas and $190 million domestically, bringing it the total to about $420 million for opening weekend worldwide. But let me ask you guys, what do you think about domestically? What's your prediction as to what you feel it's going to make? So they're saying, they're estimating $190 million right now.
I'm going to say between $2 and $250.
Dude, that's too big of a range. You got to say, like, either...
All right, I'll go 210 to 235. Is that smaller?
No. You say either 210 or 235.
We're playing this Price is Right rules? I have to do the...
exactly.
Without going,
211.
211. Oh, one.
All right, what about you, Ron?
I think we're probably just going to be north of 200, maybe the 212 range. I think we're going to see those projections slowly creep up over the weekend, and probably beat what they think, but I don't think it's going to go too far.
So you said 212?
212.
Man, you screwed Patrick.
We are 213.
Taylor, say a dollar!
Yeah, what do you want, Taylor?
What is a lot of money, Alex?
No, you can't.
Sorry, wrong game show. I don't pay enough attention to box office numbers to make an educated guess, but everyone seems to be about 212, 213. So I'm going to say 213.01.
Oh my god. Jack?
I have no idea. The estimates are, if they're estimating 190, I would say it's probably going to be like 210, somewhere in the teens, because they're always seem to be a little bit conservative and then act surprised when it comes in and over what they estimate. So I think we're all in a good range, about 210.
You guys are all idiots. I'm just going to say everyone is like 210, 211, 212, 213.
Well, I was kidding with the 211.
I thought we were playing a game show.
All right, you know what? Screw you all. I'm going to say a dollar, all right? Like Patrick said, a dollar. Although I probably think it's going to be higher, but it
as
just...
soon as it's over a dollar, you lose.
No.
It's like as soon
if no, we
you go
can't
over. Go, yeah.
You can't go over.
I didn't even realize Patrick had gone 211. I kind of blacked out after it kept going on and on about.
He never listens to me anyway. This is why we're in counseling.
Actually, I mean, I'm going to change mine. I'm going to say 250.
Ooh.
It's a little high.
Now that's a risky one.
Well, the reason why I'm saying it, though, it's getting really good reviews. The reviews have been out for about a month now. So people are anticipating it. It's not like Batman versus Superman where it had bad reviews, and that kind of affected the box office take.
Yeah, but then how much did BVS make opening weekend domestically?
166.
So it made 166 with bad reviews. So it isn't crazy to think that 250 is possible with good reviews.
Exactly. That's why I picked 250. Anyway, so that's it. We'll see what happens when it finally comes out. Since we're talking about game shows, let's get into something that we like to call Captain America Civil War Bingo. So what we're going to
do... Are you going to keep score?
I'm going to keep score. Yeah.
To see who comes out right?
I will. Yeah, when the movie...
Yeah, we did that for Force Awakens. I lost.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I didn't remember that. Okay.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and you let me know what you think, and whoever gets the most answers right when the movie comes out is the winner. Not that you're going to get anything, but, you know, you'll have bragging rights. That's about it. So we'll go Patrick, Ron, Jack, and Taylor. We're just going to leave it like that. All right, so first question, number one. Who's going to win, Team Cap or Team Iron Man?
Joe, in war there are no winners.
Good call, Patrick.
Thanks.
So what are you saying? Are you saying draw? I guess you could say draw if you want.
I mean, seriously, there's not going to be a winner. It's probably going to end with them coming together to fight Crossbones and whatever cronies he has. So I will say draw.
Okay.
I think it's Iron Man's side comes out ahead in this one. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the idea of a draw, but honestly, I could see it ending similar to the comics. So I would say Team Iron Man, that Cap gets to a point where he's not going to cross a line and then he surrenders.
Jack's probably right, but I'm going to go Team Cap just so if I win, then I win all of it.
Okay. But yeah, realize that you're not going to win with just one answer.
All of it, Joe. All
right. By the way, I'm not participating because I read the spoilers for everything. I like to read spoilers, and it wouldn't be fair if I participated.
How am I doing, Joe?
I can't tell you. Okay. I'm sorry. But, I mean, I do know some of the answers. Some of them I'm not sure, but I know most of them. But, sorry, Taylor, I'm not going to tell you. All right, question number two. Will we see a new Captain America costume?
Other than we've seen in the trailers?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what we've seen in the trailers is what he's going to wear. I don't think he's going to wear anything else.
Right. And isn't it pretty close to... Is it the same costume from Winter Soldier? It looks like it is.
You guys need to read my Marvel mashup. That's all I have to say.
No, I mean...
I read that one. I saw the stuff about the uniform.
I saw your history of the costume.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, but I didn't notice a difference between Winter Soldier and the other one. Unless I missed something. I don't know.
I pointed out all the differences.
I didn't see them.
You just looked at the pretty pictures, I know.
Yeah, okay, I'll admit it. I probably looked at the pretty pictures and said, wow.
All right. Anyway.
Just so everybody else knows out in listener land that Joe sends out about 7 or 8 emails a week complaining about costumes in movies not being accurate enough or not being colorful enough. And
he hates everything.
Well, no, it's the costumes are just pure minutia on this one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I'll change my vote to yes because he had a little bit of red different on this one.
Are you saying he has multiple costume changes in the movie?
No, I'm saying he painted the costume a little.
No, that's what I'm asking, Joe. Are you saying he has costume changes in the movie? He's aside from the costume that we've seen in the film, which is different than previous films, he has yet another.
You know what? Let's just.
I'm gonna. Okay.
Let's just void
before
this
Joe
question.
Answers anything. I'm gonna say yes because we don't know who Captain America might be at the end of the movie.
No.
So I'm gonna go with a hard yes. Captain America
quote.
Might have a costume that's different at the end of the movie.
And this is why Taylor's gunning to win it all.
Yeah, so you guys
winning
can't
it all.
You can't
get it all.
You can't change your answers, all right? You guys have already locked in your answers. Sorry. All right. Will anyone switch sides? And if anyone switches sides, who will switch sides?
I mean, should be Spidey, right? But we also know that Tony is in Spidey's solo pick. No one switches sides.
I'm saying Widow switches sides.
That's a good call.
That's my vote. I think the Widow is going to switch sides because, you know, her and Cap are so close. And, I mean, let's face it. I mean, she's best buds with Hawkeye. I don't think she's going to stay with Iron Man when it comes down to it. She's going to switch sides.
I'm also going to say Black Widow.
Now we're rolling, guys. All right, number four. Will Captain America or Iron Man die? And the way we're going to answer this question, either Captain America could die, either Iron Man could die, either neither could die, or both could die. So you have four possible answers to this question.
Cap dies. Quote, unquote, dies.
Yeah, see you later, Steve.
I think he's going to... quote, die the same way and be a fake out so he could make a dramatic appearance in Infinity War.
Rest in peace, War Machine.
He's not an option.
Oh. Yeah, that is true. Sorry.
But that's who's gonna die, you guys. There's no Goliath. They have to kill a different black guy. Okay, so...
He's not wrong! He's not wrong!
I'm not wrong! fine. I'm just gonna go against everybody and say nobody dies. Because I can't vote the obvious one.
Sorry, Taylor. Those are the rules. Alright, number 5. If Cap dies, who will be Captain America? Bucky, Sam, or no one?
Bucky. Maybe Sam eventually. I have no idea how long the MCU is going to last, or it could be last longer, like the world could end and the MCU can still be going on. But Bucky first.
I got to go with Bucky as well.
Yeah, I definitely think it's Bucky.
Sam. I'm playing the odds, you guys.
All right.
I'm like Han Solo, but don't tell me them.
All right, the two major villains in this are Crossbones and Baron Zemo. Will, same as how does it apply to Captain America and Iron Man, will Crossbones or Baron Zemo die, or both of them, or neither?
I think neither die. I mean, it's not good for the good guys to be constantly killing off the bad guys.
Yeah, I don't think either of them. I think they're just going to be around somewhere.
Yeah, I got to go with neither way. I think Crossbones is going to be captured, and Zemo's got to stick around somehow to form the Masters of Evil for Phase 4.
Yeah, he's got to put on that purple ski mask, you know? It's important.
I was looking forward to seeing the purple mask, actually.
Yeah, I want that so bad.
In the trailer, but we didn't see it. But yeah. I'm hoping the purple mask makes an appearance.
I'm going to have to go with everybody else and say nobody dies as far as bad guys. Those two particularly.
All right. Number 7, will we see Giant Man make an appearance?
Yes. Pop Vinyl's already spoiled that.
Lego, so yeah, he's in there.
Yeah, he'll appear. It was spoiled by Lego.
Yeah, he's also in Disney Infinity, so I'm going to have to say a hard yes on that one.
Will we see Pepper Potts?
Boo.
No, we're not going to see Pepper Potts. She's too big of an actress for this.
I think she's done.
I mean, unless she's at the funeral of Rhodey.
Good call, but he's not going to die.
He's going to die. He's going to die.
All right. I think we may see a cameo, so I'll say yes.
I'm going to go with Jack and say yes at the funeral of Rhodey. We'll see Gwyneth Paltrow.
You just want that guy to die.
I don't want him to die, but as far as everybody that might die, it's either him or Hawkeye. And, well... I think it's going to be Rhodey.
All right, number 9. Will Nick Fury make an appearance?
Are we containing this to just the film? Or are we talking post-credits too?
Just the film.
No, just the film.
I'd say the credits are part of the film, but I think he's more teaser character.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. He's all about it.
All right.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Number 10. Will we see the Red Skull?
Ooh.
Does it have to be the same Red Skull? Because he definitely said he ain't coming back. Again, not in the film. No.
I'm going to just say yeah to be different.
I'll say... No, even though I would love to see it post-credits, Zemo brings him back somehow. But I don't think we're going to see that.
No Red Skull.
All right. Number 11, who will create Spider-Man's web shooters?
He will.
I think he starts them, Tony finishes. How's that?
Safe answer.
I think Tony does something to them, I will say that.
I think there's only one answer, so you gotta choose one or...
There is a... Peter creates some version of them, so if the beginning of them will be Peter.
I think they're gonna have Peter Parker do it, because I think him creating something like this is what's going to catch Tony's interest and say, hey, you know, he's more than just a smart kid, he's, you know... a brilliant kid. I think he's going to make his own web shooters. Tony may improve upon him later, but the initial web shooters are going to be made by Peter.
That's actually a really strong argument, and you may have swayed me, but I'm going to go with my original answer, which would be Iron Man. Because if we're not going to have an Iron Spider in this movie, he's got to make something for him. And web shooters would be like the go-to.
All right, number 12, will we see Wakanda?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to save Wakanda for the Black Panther solo flick.
Yes, I think there's going to be something in Wakanda.
I think we'll see a quick scene, but we're not going to see too much of it.
We're going to see some Wakanda. I'm going to go with yes.
All right. Will Thor or the Hulk be mentioned?
Yes, to explain that they're not there.
I definitely think so, because if you're talking, they're doing this because of collateral damage. The Hulk is pure collateral damage.
Yeah, I think they'll be mentioned, but in passing, to say, somebody will say it's like, too bad we didn't have one of them on our side or something like that.
I'm going to say yes, and I'm gonna like throw the Hail Mary and say that there's going to be a clone of Thor in this movie that's going to mess crap up, and it's going to be awesome. Like, they're going to keep it under wraps. They've kept it under wraps this whole time. They're going to have Thor clone. He's going to just mess the day up, and we're going to all be surprised. That's what I'm going to do.
You just want Giant Man to buy it again, don't you?
I mean,
no, you know, he means Goliath.
Yeah, but I mean, if they killed, I'd be really sad if Paul Rudd died.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Okay. Yeah, you're okay with Rhodey.
I'm. No. You know what? I mean, yeah, that's fine. You know what? We don't need two Iron Mans, but we need an Ant-Man. You know, so it's fine.
All right. All right. Number 14. Will there be any Star Wars or Disney Easter eggs?
You know what? Possibly. I'm going to go with yes, because we might see something from Stark's dad, something World's Fairy, and I will come back to this episode and fight and say that something I saw was anyway.
It's impossible not to have something else Disney owns in there.
True.
I'll say we might hear a Star Wars joke or reference or something like that, or...
I understand that reference.
Or a statement like a Mickey Mouse solution or something, because they've tried to stay grounded in, the whole pop culture anyway. And I think they'll just throw it in a mention like, what was somebody made a Star Wars? Like when Steve Rogers had his list and he had Star Wars /Trek on it. We'll see mentions like that, maybe.
I think we'll find out who Ray's parents are.
Ha ha.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. So that's a yes for you, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Alright, last one. Will we see an Infinity Stone, not including Vision's forehead?
Not in the movie itself.
Alright, I'll give you this. You guys can include... after credit scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. Just because I think they're going to have enough stuff going on in this that they're not going to worry about throwing that tie into Infinity Wars on this.
I'm going to be with Jack. I think we're going to get either the time or the mind or the soul stone in Doctor Strange later this year. And then we're going to get the next stone in maybe Black Panther or something like that. So I'm going to say no.
All right. So that's it for Captain America Civil War Bingo. And we'll see what happens when the movie comes out, and we'll see who the winner is.
Do you already know who won, Joe?
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
La 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 la, not listening, la la la.
Okay, so here we are, guys. We're in our main topic, and our main topic is Spider-Man Homecoming. And we want to know what kind of villains are going to be in it, what is Spidey going to be like, but what kind of storylines do you want to see? I guess that's the important one. What storyline do you want to see, and I guess what villain would you like to see pop up?
So I mentioned it as we got together as a group that I thought this episode where we talked about what we want to see in an upcoming Spider-Man movie aired. So I'm trying to remember everything I said. I think it should be a trilogy. I would like to see over the course of the trilogy, and I know Taylor and Joe both think this too, Kraven's last hunt, but I want like maybe a post-credit scene of Kraven at the end of Homecoming. I would like to see maybe a brief fight with him at the end of the second one, and then the third one, it comes to the head with Kraven. I'd like to see Vulture, and I think we are going to see Vulture in Homecoming. That's a good quote-unquote starter villain for him, and maybe Mysterio in the second one. There's lots of fun jokes you can have there with the underlying storyline behind it all being Kraven. And I'm very uncomfortable with the fact, as I've said before, that I've seen Aunt May naked.
Really? What kind of Funko Pop do you have?
It's the movie The Wrestler. She's nude in that.
Oh, I thought you said Ant-Man.
No, I said Aunt May.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if I've seen Paul Rudd naked, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell the tabloids.
All right.
I don't know what storyline in particular I like. I'd like to see them build to something like Maximum Carnage, but you can't do that right away. And Kraven's Last Hunt is another thing you could build to. I'd like to see Kraven as like a secondary villain, because I mean we're coming in Spidey's established, so we could have Kraven coming in to hunt him. Like his first set of appearances in the Ultimate Universe, where he's got this reality TV show. And he's going to hunt Spider-Man. And when he finally confronts him, Spidey just cleans up with him in one punch because he's just human. And, you know, maybe that angers him and he, you know, tries to get power somehow. And that builds up to the last hunt. I think Vulture's supposed to be in this from some things I've heard. And that was one of the jokes that was made is, you know, why Keaton was in it and then backed out, is he originally thought he was doing a Birdman sequel when he was playing the Vulture. I could see a Vulture and a human Kraven, and would be a good combo for a first movie, especially if Kraven's not really a threat at this point.
I like the idea about going back to the first encounter of Kraven in the Ultimate Spider-Man series, where, you know, they had him built up over several issues, how he was this great hunter and all this, and then at the end of the day, when he finally does confront Spider-Man, he's just a normal guy. He might be a great hunter, but he's not a match for Spider-Man. I think they had him paired off against Doc Ock in that story, if I remember right, but I'd like to see Mysterio in this. I know they talk to Vulture, but I'd kind of like to see Spider-Man go up against like a couple of villains who are just going to like mess with his head. You know, they're not super powered for a big slug out, but they're kind of one move ahead of him, trying to outthink him and put him into a situation that where he has trouble getting out of, where Mysterio can screw with him, because Mysterio always did all sorts of illusions. And he also had robots at one point. So I think Mysterio could be a lot of fun with Kraven as a background. Or even they could do something with... what was his name? The Tinkerer? Have the Tinkerer start, you know, as the overall story. He's the main bad because he's been supplying all these villains with their gadgets.
With all of the villains in the Spider-Man universe, you choose the Tinkerer?
Because you could have the Tinkerer, like, you know what? The robot, the Vulture's pack, he may have built the Vulture's pack so the Vulture could fly. He could have built the Shocker's gloves or something. You know what I mean? Like, all these different things that you could, hey, here's a bunch of different Spider-Man villain moments, you know, where he's fighting different guys for a little bit at the time. And then it all gets wrapped up that eventually he tracks it all down to being the Tinkerer, you know, supplying these guys, and that's the guy he's got to stop. Or am I way off base, guys? I don't know. But that would be cool. I think that would be a cool storyline. I just hope they don't go back to the goblins anytime soon.
I'm 100% down for everything Patrick said. Like, I like the idea that it's like the Vulture and then maybe Mysterio, because I love Mysterio and they've never done him in the movies, and that'd be awesome. And then it, like, they kind of tease Kraven a couple times, and then he comes back, like, because in that book he was just like, I've been defeated by the spider and this jerk spider keeps beating me, but I'm gonna beat him this time, and just like him just come back and everyone, because I feel like if you have a trilogy and in the third movie this guy that you're like, what a joke, because even Spider-Man's like, come on, Kraven. Like, we've done this before. And even the audience would be like, yeah, this guy, I mean, he got just taken down super easily. Kind of like what Jack was saying in the Ultimates thing, where it was just like, you just got, you know, but he finally just like goes all out, and all of a sudden it's this crazy story. And at that point, you'd have liked Peter Parker enough so that if he is, you know, he's finally like confessed his identity to Mary Jane, and then he disappears, and then you're like, what's happening? And then Kraven's dressed up in the crazy Spider-Man outfit, like going, I am the spider, and just like being a crazy Russian, like Spider-Man beating bad guys. And I think that would be the greatest like third movie in that trilogy.
I actually have the perfect actor for Kraven too.
Who?
WWE's Rusev. He would make a wonderful Kraven.
I don't know that character.
Nor should you. He's awful, but he would make a tremendous Kraven.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him either.
But yeah, I mean, Kraven is such a laughable like character until Kraven's last hunt. Then you're like, wow, he's really formidable, and that would be just amazing to see happen to the audience that doesn't know the comics. Also, you know, just to see that, like, man, this guy just comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's crazy and awesome. And like buries Spider-Man alive after he shoots him in the head, you know, like just crazy stuff would be great.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely going to be a trilogy. They already said that. And I'm going to go against what Jack said. I do want to see the Goblin back, but I want to see him done right. They were talking about bringing Matthew McConaughey in. I would love to see
him. All right.
I'd love to see him as Norman Osborn and be the real Green Goblin. I want to see a purple hat. I want to see a green mask. I don't want to see this Mighty Morphin Power Rangers crap that we saw in the first movie. I want him to be threatening. William Dafoe was good, though, as Harry Osborn, but it's just that costume was just such a joke that he could barely move in. He was not threatening at all. I just want to see him done right and because he's basically Spider-Man's Joker. And I think like you want to have a really good villain, and he's Spider-Man's best villain, so bring him in for the first one. The second one, yeah, maybe bring in Kraven. I'm with you guys. Is it Kraven's last hunt or is it the last stand?
It's Kraven's last hunt.
His last hunt. Yeah, I mean, I love that one. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was very dark, very adult. You know, the thing that would bother me a little bit is that he doesn't have the black costume yet, so he'd have to use the red and the blue and all that. But it's also too early too, because we know that Kraven ends up killing himself at the end. I think it's too early to bring Kraven in and just off him right away, so I don't know. But I would make like a second movie with a different villain, maybe even bring in Scorpion or like you guys were saying,
Scorpion.
Mysterio or something like that. And then the third one, maybe bring the Goblin back in. I know that, yeah, this one would be tough because they're ready. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Gwen Stacy's going to be in this or Mary Jane's going to be in it. We don't know about the casting except they're looking at people right now. But I would like to see it be more, you know, attuned to the original comics and see, you know, Goblin's demise in the last one. The real Goblin. Maybe they have to change it because they did do an Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it just would be too familiar for if they just replayed that over again. But introduce Eddie Brock in it just as like a competing photographer or writer. I forget, was he a writer?
He's a photographer.
He was a photographer.
Was he a photographer?
Yeah, he was a competing photographer.
I always just thought he was the high school job. That's Flash.
No, that's Flash.
Flash. Yep, took me a second.
Wait, wasn't he a writer in the comic?
Yeah, I thought he was a writer because he wrote a story about somebody and it ended up being false, and he got fired.
And then Spider, yeah, he gets fired for something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, Joe. I'd love a Goblin thing going on, but I would like it to culminate in maybe a new Avengers situation where if we're not going to get Avengers versus X-Men for Phase 4, and you have to do something interesting that beyond Infinity Gauntlet. What if you had like the Norman Osborn led Avengers team, which are all bad guys? You know,
the Dark Avengers has been a storyline they've used in lots of different games. They used it in the Marvel card game. They use it in Marvel Puzzle Quest. So I mean, it's definitely possible. That whole, I think it's called Dark Reign, that is like a very popular story series. So that's definitely possible. Good call, man.
Yeah, I mean, like if the problem is they've already used. When War Machine
Iron Patriot.
Yeah, they've already used that, but they got rid of it kind of real quick. You know, it was kind of like it was in Iron Man 2, I think. But now he's back to War Machine. So maybe they could just be like, oh, just kidding, Iron Patriot. Now that they have those licenses, that could be cool.
What about more of an Ultimate Goblin, since we've seen a couple different iterations of a costumed Goblin?
I don't like Ultimate Goblin. I just don't like him. I mean, it just, like, I've seen him and, you know, maybe even, like, if they're going to do something like that, bring him in the third movie, like, make him, like, transform into the Ultimate Goblin, but I don't know. There's just something about him that I don't like. It's kind of like he's
a goblin.
Yeah, he's like a goblin, you know?
I mean, he seems weird, like, in the Ultimates, like, Ultimate cartoon, like, Goofy, and, like, even the video game Disney Infinity version, but he actually was cool and formidable and can transform back and forth in the, or at least maybe has a potion or something, but in the Miles Morales storyline, because he's the one who killed Peter Parker.
Yeah, I mean, he was actually scary.
Yeah, yeah.
In Ultimate Spider-Man.
He's so, Hulk Light.
Yeah, so he's definitely a Hulk Light. And I'm with Jack. Like, I was like, wow, this Goblin, for the first time, I think, I was like, Goblin is legitimately a threat. Like, Goblin's always been a threat to Spider-Man, but always kind of like, he throws bombs at him and flies around in his thing and cackles like a weirdo. But, like, he was like this super strong guy that Spider-Man just gets owned by, you know?
And just so, ruthlessly evil intelligence, too. I mean, he was a guy who he basically kowtowed Doc Ock, you know, that Doc Ock would start to question him and he'd put him in his place and Doc Ock would back down right away. I mean, he was a scary dude in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I actually just read a Punisher book. Oh, God, I can't even remember what it was. With a genetically altered Vulture. So, I mean, that's also a thing. Because Vulture's not scary on his own. It's kind of a whack villain. But, like, Joe keeps talking about people coming back in later movies, or even later in that movie where he's the Vulture and he's just some costume weirdo, and then he goes and gets genetically altered. Could be something, maybe a radioactive Vulture bites him, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you guys, the way you're talking about Kraven too, I mean, if you haven't read Ultimate Spider-Man, you may want to check those out, because throughout that whole series, they had the Shocker be the joke villain. That Spider-Man would just beat him up at least 1 out of 10 issues in like 2 seconds. And then they had an issue where the Shocker actually caught him. And had him at a complete disadvantage, and it was a really good issue, because you saw the Shocker that, first off, he can't believe he actually won, and you know, the pain and anguish of a failed villain who's always getting trounced. It was really a good issue. You know, I'd hate to see them set Kraven up as that, as the fall guy for several movies, but like I said, Ultimate Spider-Man, if you haven't read it, check it out.
Yeah, I think we've probably all read Ultimate Spider-Man. And, like, Ron, was the Goblin that you were talking about, was he the first villain that was in Ultimate Spider-Man when it first started?
I think so. I think he's the first arc where, yeah, that's how he becomes the Goblin. And at first, it is really Hulk-like, and he can't control it. He just has this urge to go after Peter. But he develops it more and more. Like, he starts getting control and he starts becoming a smart Goblin. And that's when it got really scary.
Yeah, and I forget what the second arc was, but I remember the third arc was Venom. And they made it like where I think Peter's father was like a scientist working with Eddie Brock's father or something like that. And they created some sort of symbiote thing. And that's how they ended up doing Venom. You know, different from what we're used to.
Yeah, it was some sort of like cancer curing suit. And I don't know if that was arc 3, but it was I believe arc 2 was the Doc Ock and Kraven arc, as well as Kingpin is running through those at the very beginning.
Yeah, Kingpin I think was early on too.
Kingpin ran Electro, if I remember.
That'd be something if arcs. if they brought Kingpin into it.
Please. That'd be so great.
They should. They should really tie those in. But who's running? Who runs a Netflix series? Is it the movie division or is it the TV division or is it completely just another a third division?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I still think that Disney has final say over everything. Again, it's this Isaac Putterman that apparently is having issues with the Inhumans and stuff like that. I don't see why they just don't let him go. If they own the whole company and everything, I can't see him having that much power to prevent, like, because it seems like Kevin Feige now is reporting to Alan Horn, and if he says I want the Kingpin in this next movie, in the next Spider-Man movie, I'm sure they're gonna say, all right, you know your stuff, we're not gonna doubt you. I don't think anyone's gonna stand in his way.
Eventually, they have to bring the Netflix verse into the MCU proper. I mean, where that happens, it would make the most sense in Spider-Man, as Kingpin's been a Spider-Man villain before. So, I mean, I could see that. You're making good points.
And, I mean, with the Defenders coming up, we know Cumberbatch is not adverse to doing TV.
Hmm.
True. Good call.
Yeah, that is a good call. But we'll see. I mean, it's definitely something we're all looking forward to. We got some time. Yeah, so Spider-Man Homecoming is coming out July 7th, 2017. So we got some time. Actually, it's next year. I mean, I guess we'll find out a little bit more as time goes by. And right now, we're just looking forward to seeing Spider-Man in Civil War. And the way it sounds like from all the critics is that we're going to be pretty damn happy. Because it sounds like they really got Spider-Man right this time. All right, so I guess we'll wrap it up from here. And let's go down the roll call over here. Guys, can you let us know where people could find you and chat with you? We'll start with Mr. Hackett.
You can find me at HackLaSalle, and you can email the show at nerdalertpod@gmail.com.
And
Ron? You can find our Twitter at nerdalertpod, and I am at Gracie's Butler.
Taylor?
You can find me on Twitter at TCatch, that's TK4TCH, and you can see other stuff I've done at CBXcasts.com, that's CBXcasts.com.
And Jack, I'm just going to say thanks for joining us.
I've got to get in the 21st century.
Yeah, so do I, one day. But with that, this is the end of Episode 5, Season 2 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. Until next time,
stay nerdy!
See ya.
Good night, all.